And a major milestone today in Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. A judge sentenced Alex van der Zwaan to 30 days in prison for lying to federal investigators. Van der Zwaan is an associate of Rick Gates, who is a former deputy Trump campaign manager. He is also the first to be sentenced out of the 22 people the special counsel has brought charges against so far. NPR national security editor Phil Ewing is here with the latest. Phil, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure. So this lawyer sentenced today, Alex van der Zwaan. He was also fined $20,000. But, you know, remind us who he is and what his connections are to the people that Mueller's investigating.
He is a Dutch national who works in London as an attorney. And in his previous life, he worked for an international law firm there called Skadden Arps, which was retained in 2012 by Paul Manafort and Rick Gates and people they were doing business with on behalf of the then government of Ukraine. And the regime at that time was prosecuting an opposition political figure named Yulia Tymoshenko. And it was being criticized because people on the outside said the Tymoshenko charges were trumped up and she was being silenced and bullied wrongly. She's since been cleared of any charges from that era. But Skadden Arps, Alex van der Zwaan, who you mentioned, were part of the legal team brought in to help bolster the case, again, as part of this work that Manafort and Gates were doing on behalf of the Ukrainian regime. They've been charged by the special counsel's office with allegedly laundering money and working as unregistered foreign agents and a whole host of other crimes. Gates has pleaded guilty. Manafort says he's innocent of these charges and he's asked for them to be dismissed.
As part of this plea deal, van der Zwaan has agreed to waive his rights to get information about this investigation, which is a very compelling little tidbit. Why did Mueller insist on keeping those records secret?
The special counsel's office likes to do its talking via its work, and that's the only way that we get little insights into what it has or what it knows or what it wants to accomplish. And so by agreeing to this proviso, what has happened here is the normal course of discovery or the normal rights that a defendant would have in this case to ask for information the government has are not going to be executed as part of this strategy to keep whatever evidence or whatever intentions the special counsel has secret. And so far, they've been very successful at doing that because very few things tend to leak out of the special counsel's office and get into the press.
Right, which of course means the public isn't going to get this information as well, which is the bigger point there. But we're also learning more about the scope of the investigation from a memo that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein wrote back in August. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's correct. It's a fascinating document. I have it here. This appeared as a part of some court filings, and it's a follow-up to the initial memorandum issued by Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, appointing Mueller and giving him kind of the scope of work that he would expect from the special counsel's office. It mentions the memo that appointed him, and it says this: the following allegations were within the scope of the investigation at the time of your appointment and are within the scope of this order, colon, and then there's a big black square on the page. Hmm. And it goes on to detail allegations against Paul Manafort, whom we mentioned a minute ago, Donald Trump's former campaign chairman. And what it says is that he may, according to allegations, have committed a crime or crimes by colluding with Russian government officials as a part of their active measures waged against the United States in 2016. And then from there, there's another long black square of redactions. And so we don't know exactly the type of instructions that the Deputy Attorney General gave to the special counsel, except to say that there's a lot more here that Mueller's office could be charged with investigating or persons it could be looking into. We just don't know right now what they are.
Now, I also understand that that memo does bring up Paul Manafort's connections to Ukraine, which is important as well, because his lawyers are trying to say that the charges related to his dealings in Ukraine have exceeded Mueller's mandate and therefore should be thrown out.
That's right. Not according to this material. According to the documents produced by the special counsel's office, he was specifically empowered by Mr. Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, to see whether or not Manafort may have committed a crime or crimes, I'm quoting here, arising out of payments he received from the Ukrainian government before and during the tenure of President Viktor Yanukovych. In other words, Rosenstein made it part of Mueller's mandate at the time of his appointment to look into these matters, not just involving collusion, but other crimes, as we know, that may or may not have taken place that the special counsel could discover as part of his investigation.
Okay, Phil, so as all of this is swirling around, we also have heard recently that President Trump has proposed a meeting with Vladimir Putin at the White House. I just want to get your thoughts on that too.
Yeah, it's a very interesting detail. The White House said yesterday that the negotiations between the two leaders are at a very early stage. Trump had a phone call with Putin recently after his reelection there, and he was criticized by Democrats and outsiders for not taking a stronger line, for congratulating him on what critics called a sham election, for not raising the poisoning by Russia of a British agent who was a Russian intelligence officer and his daughter in the UK. And the interesting thing about that is, with all this swirling, it remains to be seen how well these leaders can actually come together if they ever do.
NPR's Phil Ewing, thanks.
Thank you.